Hi, friends. It's Jim Kipping, and I'm in the studio today, and I can honestly say I'm in the studio with greatness. They are actually two of my idols. They're Italian, and they like to eat, and they like to do stone work. It's Dean and Derek from DIY's Rock Solid, as well as Indoors Out. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey Jim. Good morning to you.
Jim, let's start off by you have to set the bar a lot higher.
A lot higher, Jim.
Maybe a therapist can help you out, but
wow.
Definitely a little high.
You know, he's what, maybe 6'1", 6'2"? He wants to be a 5'6" guy who's 20 pounds overweight but is Italian?
Oh, I mean, okay. For those of you out there, that's Derek describing himself.
That's
not
me,
his cousin.
Yes.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, there's nothing. I'm in a support group.
Well, you guys are actually in town. You're going to be shooting two episodes?
Two episodes here in Austin.
Of Indoors
Six
Zone.
Days, two episodes, yep.
Oh, wow.
I know. Jam-packed.
And you've been on the road for a while doing these shows.
Right. Yeah, we usually hit the road November.
Yeah, late October, November.
Until about April.
Right.
And then pretty much from May to October, we're back home in the New England, Massachusetts area.
Yeah.
So...
And of course, your people said, go shoot in Texas. It's beautiful this time of year.
You know what's interesting, Jim, is we have a real strong fan base here in Texas. People send us emails all the time. We've been dying to get down here. Mm. And when we talk to our producers about it, we're like, we have to hit Texas. Mm. So Austin came up. Working with a great company down here, Everything Outdoors.
Right.
And Jim Irwin and... when that came through, we were like, wow, man, we're going to Texas in February. But looking at the weather, we're like, was that the smartest thing to do?
It's a hit or miss thing. You know, you could be wearing shorts in 60 degrees. Like, I was working the other day. It was like 50-something degrees. I got a sunburn. It was nice.
Everywhere we travel, though, the weather always turns miserable. So we just accept it. It's kind of mirroring our lives.
It does mirror.
We're just two miserable human beings.
Jim, let's go back to the sunburn. I mean, you're German. Yeah. You're fair-skinned. Right. You got to put some block on, dude.
Of course.
I mean, you can't be going outside without protection.
Well, I put a hat on and...
He wants to be Italian.
Okay.
He's Italian.
I'm sorry, let's go back.
He's a Goomba.
Jim, you know what? Yeah. Your skin is
one
so...
Of us, Jim.
You're olive oil. That's what you are.
And he has nice hair.
He does have good hair.
Which is good.
It's the hair product. Very early in the morning.
Talk to Dean about that because he is so into his hair products.
Well, let's kind of start from the beginning because I think you have a wonderful, kind of a start because you guys are stonemasons.
Right, yeah.
You know, that's how you actually get out there and get dirty, and that's what my wife and I, who actually have a TiVo, and we tape every episode of your show.
As you should.
And we love it. And but you guys are actually out there getting dirty and doing work. Tell us how you really started with the stonemasonry.
Well, that was through Derek's dad, my uncle.
Yeah. You know, my dad was a Englishman who married a hot-blooded Italian.
Oh, boy.
And then lived next door to the hot-blooded Italian's parents. And then he became pretty much, quote, Italian.
Yeah.
And we had 16 cousins growing up that were all very close, and my dad had free labor for 15 years.
And you know what? He's no longer with us, but there's one thing that always stuck in our mind. He would tell us, I hope you don't have to do this for a living.
Right.
But I can tell you that if you learn this trade and these skills, you'll always be able to put food on the table.
Yeah. Right. Right.
He was a master craftsman. He started off, working in a yard at a quarry, and on his lunch break, he went down and watched the stonecutters cutting their tables. And these guys, Jim, cutting their tables like the old days.
Right.
And when it gets cold, they have that barrel with the fire in it.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's like a shed.
But
it doesn't
visually,
change.
I mean, just the sound. You see, there's no leaves on the trees. It's like 30 degrees, and they're in a pit.
Yeah.
And all you hear as you're walking is
ting, ting,
ting, ting, and the echo. It's really cool. I have to say.
It is really cool because it hasn't changed.
Right.
And Dad would go down there in his lunch break, learn how to cut stone. After about 3 years, the guys in the yard like, you got to get out of here. Get a truck. You got two boys coming. Your wife's pregnant again, and you need to make a life for yourself. So he borrowed $300. Mm. I'll never forget from Mr. Tomasi back in Pembroke, Mass, a landscape guy. And he bought a truck, and he paid him $25 a month until he paid it off, and he started his own company. He was a stonemason for 33 years.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, growing up, working with all your cousins, because we're a very close Italian family, Sunday dinners, our cousins were like our brothers and sisters. And you'd work, through high school and college. You know, when you play football, whatever, you never have to go to the gym because you're working doing the stonework.
That's true.
You get a great tan, and you meet the owner's really attractive daughter.
Right.
And your uncle would pay you cash and buy you lunch. I mean, how do you beat that?
Really?
That's true. And, you know, Dean was always the one who would work. And I'd be like, Dad, I'm going to go to the beach today.
Yeah.
And then he'd call up Dean. He'd be like, okay, Uncle Artie, I'll be there. And he always made me look so bad.
Derek had the middle child syndrome.
Well, we don't need to mention that. You know, I spent a lot of money in therapy for that. And I'm not – I don't think myself as a middle child anymore, Jim. We started mixing cement around 10, yeah. Seriously. And
right.
We spent our summers, and then when we went to college, we spent our college breaks with my dad. Mm. And little did we know, he was teaching us the trade.
Right? Oh, yeah.
You know, and he was the one that was kicking us out all the time. Go.
Yeah.
Go find out what you want to do. Go find out. Don't rely on this. Not that he didn't love his trade.
Right.
It's just that he didn't want to hold us back from finding out
right.
who we were.
Yeah.
You know? So
I have to tell you, I tell Derek and I, we teach a lot of classes, and we're going to start teaching some more classes around the country. When I meet young guys... and women, to tell
you
the truth.
Yeah. A lot of women.
Right.
They always say, well, how do you learn this? And there's really – it's hard to learn this trade now because the guys who do it, to go on to their crew, some of them are the old school where they don't want to teach you their secrets.
That's right.
They
right.
make you mix all the time. But on the other hand, I do tell them that if you learn a trade
right. –
and this economy has proven it.
Right.
I have a lot of friends who are in the bank business and things like that, and they worked there for 18 years. They lose their jobs.
Right.
They have nothing to fall back on.
Right.
When
right.
you have a trade, whether it's carpentry, plumbing, electrician work, or stonework, you can always figure out a way to get yourself back on your feet. Because no matter what the economy is,
right.
people are going to need maintenance work. Their
sure.
steps are falling apart. Insurance companies, where we're from right now, are actually going to people's homes and taking a walk around the property and noticing if that retaining wall is leaning forward, and they'll say, look, you don't fix this,
absolutely.
Your insurance is. So you won't get rich, but I know very wealthy people who are rich
yeah.
and they speak with broken English
yeah.
and they're 80-year-old stonemasons
sure.
and they drive trucks that were built in the 70s, but they look brand new
sure.
and you find out that they sleep under $1 million cash in their mattress every
right.
night
right.
and they
right.
own four or five pieces of property because they took their business
right.
and instead, like my generation, hey, let's lease a $500,000 car
right.
and
right.
live in a 5,000 square foot
right.
home.
Right.
They lived normal, simple lives under the radar.
You know what I've realized about my cousin?
What's that?
When he gets going, he has a lot of good stuff to talk about, but he forgets the question that you asked.
No, wait a minute.
So,
and I wanted to get in, I was born a poor fat child.
Yeah. The question was... there was nothing poor about you in the first place, and yes, you were fat. But the question was, how did we get started? Now we're talking about politics and all of these things.
How did politics get involved?
Well, politics and economy and all that other stuff, and that's all good stuff, but that's coming on down the line. So let's stay in this question. How did we get started? We made a tape after in somewhere in 2000.
Is that the question you asked?
Well, yes. And we made a tape after all this, and we figured I was trying to get out of the business. Dean's
right.
like, no, you're staying in the business.
Right.
He's coming back from L.A. I'm like, I just sold all the equipment. I had a Jeep, a wheelbarrow, and a hoe. And I think we had a bucket with a hole in it.
Right.
And I said, I'm selling everything. I'm just going to go. He goes, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. I'm going to teach. Teach what? I have no idea. I'll go to school at night. I'm just done. I'm burnt out. I've been at it for 10 years, blah, blah, blah. He came back. He's like, we're going to be business partners. I said, no, we're not. Next thing you know, we're on a set of stairs.
Now, I am going to get – is this political? That shows you what a great country America is.
Sure.
Because Derek and I literally started off with a 1987 – rusted out Jeep Cherokee, a wheelbarrow.
I loved my Jeep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I sat in the passenger side. I had to hold my feet up because the floor was rotted.
It was.
And we had a wheelbarrow, a mixing hoe, and a shovel. And we started going back to the old quarry where we grew up with, and they hired us to start building some of the display areas because they felt bad for us.
Sure.
And then it just one step after another, and all we did is work.
We
just woke up.
Yeah.
And Doug
Holtz. That's the interesting thing, Jim. I mean, okay, we know you do projects at your house.
That's right. I have a project problem, as my wife would
say. Yeah, you
have
a project problem.
I've seen the pictures. You have no problem.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous.
I know. He's listening for our money. He's really good.
I hope he doesn't ask us any questions.
It might take him a week to set four brick, but they're good.
But they're straight, damn it.
They're straight. But, you know, we're basically stonemasons who happen to have two successful TV shows.
Yeah.
You know, we're not TV hosts that happen to do what we do.
Right.
You know, it's the other way around. around for us. So we're in this weird world now. Construction and production. And when you try to get those two together, I'm telling you, there's a lot of days where it just does not mix.
Sure.
And we're always finding that we're in the middle of this thing going, no, you need to do this, you need to do that. No, the quality has to stay here, but let's save time over here. And that's actually been very good, I think, for our shows. And I think that's why people like you relate to what we talk about.
Absolutely.
Because you know we're the real deal.
Right. Oh, absolutely. As my wife says, you guys are the ones out there getting dirty. You guys have the dirtiest pants out there.
Well, you know, in Rock Solid and stuff, we do. Honestly, with Indoors Out, because they're bigger projects, there are times where we're playing host, jumping in on things. We really don't do the majority of the work because the projects are so hard. We work with different aspects of the project, but we can't be responsible for turning you know, a 1,000-square-foot patio with a pergola and everything in 3 days.
Although when we did do Trace Adkins' house, that
we
was
did
a 1,000-square-foot
patio.
It was 11 o'clock. It needed to be done by 5, and we're like, where are the rest of the guys?
Right,
and they go,
right.
I knew how to do a regular
stone. So I said, Dean, set the strings up.
Yeah.
We're rocking and rolling.
Yeah, absolutely. And you
got
to do it.
We
you
got
know?
It done. You know?
But, you know, I think our mission statement for – we really don't have one, but, I mean, Derek and I have talked about this.
Let's go back to that. Our mission statement, we really don't have
We know. We're on the same page.
Get a mission statement. Right, that's the first one.
Our first mission statement is we really don't have one, but it's there. It's a cloud that follows us. And what we've always wanted, before we even, when we did our tape to try to get a TV show, we were adamant about we want to teach people the techniques on how to do it themselves.
Sure.
We can't make you an expert veneer, full-size veneer stone man in a 20-minute episode.
No, and we never promise you that.
Right. But what we can teach you is the technique, what it should look like, how we get there. And then if you start on a small project, not like doing your entire home, and the more you do it, the better you'll get. Or if you have a large project, when you hire somebody, we're going to teach you the things to look for so you find the right
company. Make sure it's done right. Sure.
And along the way, hopefully we entertain you because obviously, you know, we're two goofballs and we want to make people entertain and laugh and have – we want the projects to look fun and have fun. And also the last aspect is to introduce you to new products that you might not get a chance to see.
You're having trouble with the word product and the word projects. When you try to say them, they come out
because
like –
it's early in the morning and I'm a little phlegmy.
We've only had one cup of coffee. So
exactly.
It gets better as the day goes on.
Jim, you built your house.
We did. We actually built – we general contracted our house. We first built the building that we lived in while we were actually coming up with the plans for the house. So that took about 2 years to finalize the plans, three sets of plans. And then finally, we couldn't find a contractor that would touch anything under 3,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
So much with my life and, you know, computers and any project that I've done, I'm just going
to
do it.
3,000 square feet to me is a big house.
Well, I didn't want 3,000. That's what we said. We don't want 3,000 square feet.
Right.
Well, we don't want to do your project. Okay, well, and this is a custom house and very Italian. So
I bet if you called them now, they'd be
absolutely. Yeah, especially after the Austin Business Journal did a 2-page spread on us going, really? Hey, look, these guys did it. But we did it because it was a passion. The other thing is trying to find somebody that was going to have the same passion for the kind of build that we were going to do.
Right.
Because even though we're not Italian, I lived in Italy when I was a kid.
Right.
And it's like going home for me.
Right.
So there's a difference between a villa and a Tuscan farmhouse.
That's right.
We wanted a Tuscan farmhouse.
Yep.
And we went and we researched and we went to Tuscany. We spent time with a family. It's almost like, if I were to come up with a company, it would be called Passion Builders because, you know, going and actually living with the people and in the architecture that you want to live in here in the States, it just makes sense. So so my wife and I, we don't have any kids, so we're spending the college fund that we didn't save for now.
Right.
And we travel a lot.
Good for you.
And we went over and we brought us a lot of things back for the house. And we kept a blog from the day that we poured slab all the way up to today where we still we're doing projects. And I admire you guys. And the reason why I think it's really important that your show and your word get out there is because – you know, you don't have to sit in a class to learn something. I can tell you that the project I'm working on right now, I go to YouTube and say, you know what? Let's see the Master Masons do their stuff.
Right.
And I learn how to put block up. You know,
it's a whole different world.
It's a whole different world. But you know what? It's not necessarily the prettiest wall, and I'll show it to you. But it's up there and it's strong. And
you know what I've realized? The more he talks, I'm going to start to cry. Because I'm getting very envious. Gone to Italy, researched the house, have a Tuscan farmhouse, and then he builds block for stress relief. You and I build block with stress. We haven't been to Italy. We have no farmhouse.
How many times do I have to tell you, when you're in public, stop touching your feminine side?
Oh, all right. Stop the crying. I won't cry. All right, thank you.
Let's talk about your new show. It's not just about masonry. You guys do some really cool projects, man.
It's really what we do in our business when we're not shooting the show. We design outdoor rooms. We've been doing it for a while. Yeah. And the great thing about this show, Rock Solid is fun. Rock Solid, we work with a little crew. It's Derek and I most of the time doing the work, our director, producer, and a cameraman, sound guy.
Right. Yep.
Indoors Out is an opportunity for us to travel the country and work with really good, skilled crews. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we have at this point established that we know our stuff in hardscaping, and Derek's really good with plants.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is we're both really good at design.
Yeah.
And that's like you just talking about your project.
Sure, sure.
You know you have to spend so much time at that desk with that paper before you pick up a tool. And too many people don't know that. They think, okay, we'll figure this out as we go. No.
Right.
Because you're going to waste your budget, and you're going to be exhausted halfway through, and then the frustration level sets in. And as Dean says, then that pile of stone sits in your front yard for 2 years and your wife yells at you.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So it's like designing for us has always been part of what we've done.
Right. Yeah.
And now bringing it into the show, then taking the design with the people around the country, like we do a lot of conference calls with people.
Mm. Right.
For example, here in Texas, we can't design the project because you have to walk the backyard. But we have a lot of input into that design, and we do a lot of conference calls with the designer in the area, and we don't take credit for their design.
Right.
We say, look, we're going to bring this to life with you, and we're going to figure out the lifestyle of the homeowner. We want to know how they live. We want to know what they need, and we're going to figure out what products need to come in here and all that. And it's very collaborative. We're very much like
that. And like any show, it has to be a decrepit before and a great after.
Yeah.
And along the right way, working with crews, you want to make it entertaining. We don't have to prove that we know how to build a fireplace or design a project.
Sure.
So we want to bring them in and make it a team effort. When you bring in personalities, sure the contractors that worked on your house, there were some characters out of sitcoms that were working on your house. And it's, you want it to be fun because there are long days and a lot of work.
Right. Hey, Jim, does this sound familiar? I don't know why the drain's underneath where the refrigerator's going to go. But all you have to do is jack up that part of the concrete and then we'll move it. Oh, never mind. We don't need to do that.
Yeah. Every word is like a dagger in my heart. It really is, because we had a pristine floor until the plumber got a hold of it.
Right.
We don't need to. We'll just go someplace
else. You know what's really great about Indoors Out, too, is we are on the cutting edge of what's new in the market.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of great stuff going on. You know, these misters, that you guys know about down here. To keep the temperature cooler in your area. And now they're doing that with, like, mosquito repellent products.
Sure.
The automatic awnings things.
But talk about what's near and dear to his heart.
To his heart?
Yes.
The wood-burning oven.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That, i.e., the pizza oven.
Yeah.
But that's really not the right name for it.
No, that's why I didn't say pizza. Because I knew you would, and then I'd have to correct you.
Right.
That's what I'm doing now.
Yeah, because some people think, well, I'm going to put this $20,000 oven in my backyard and cook bread and pizza.
Right.
No. It's a whole...
The $5 pizza from the frozen pizza from... No, that's not what you do.
And you know, in Italy, where you live, they take whole pigs and cook the... they do all their cooking in the pizza.
Well, let's face it, too. When you taste food cooked in that oven.
Oh, it's
is it different?
Because
totally.
Yeah. What it does is it traps in the taste, juices, and everything else. When you throw it on a grill, a lot of stuff gets dry, and a lot of people overcook it. In there, it's all baked together.
I have yet to have a steak, though. I heard they have these grates put in the oven, and it does get up to 1,000 degrees.
That's
It almost like flash sears the whole thing.
Exactly.
I heard that you've never had.
You know what?
Steak.
What they do is they have it, and you put it kind of in the little entry where the flue is in the front, and you actually put the coals underneath it, but it's getting blasted from the inside too.
Does it taste different?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
And you're exactly right. It gets up to 1,000 degrees. You can never add enough insulation to these things,
right.
And I'm taking that to heart.
When's your oven going to be done?
when's it going to stop being 40 degrees, you know, and 40
degrees,
miles?
That summer where we come from.
I know.
Man.
I know.
I don't really. I just want to eat.
Yeah.
I'm really hungry.
And, you know, there's a very long line of people who have been following this on the on both Facebook and on my blog. So,
nice.
So you know, we're going to have a big party. Trust me when it's all
you
said.
You fly us down?
Oh, absolutely.
There you go. Yeah. I'm going down to Texas, honey, for a couple of steaks.
We're going to Jimbo's Trattoria over there. And it truly is going to be a little trattoria by the time we're all finished up with it.
Good
but
for you.
But no, I really want to thank you guys for first of all, giving inspiration to I guarantee you it's not just people, like me. There's people who have never done anything that are inspired to say, you know what, I think I can do that.
Yeah.
And then they can go and get the information on how to do that. And then, you know, as we talked and we actually watched the Super Bowl, we kind of dorked out about building last night.
That was a good time.
But and thank you for the beer last night. That was very fun. But you know,
I bought that, Jim.
Yeah,
I bought that.
Thank you. It's an art form, and it's something that you can step back when you're finished and say, you know what?
Right.
Not only did I build that, but I designed it, I came up with it, and we're going to enjoy it from this point on.
You have a great sense of pride when you look in your backyard, and I have to be honest, even on the jobs Derek and I do, it's something that it's a great feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
Derek's sad, like I said, is no longer with us, but I drive through sections of town where we used to live, and I see buildings that he built or a restaurant.
Jobs we actually worked on with
right.
him. And
yeah.
the past is right there. For
30
you.
Years.
And I teach my son. My son has never met him, you know.
That's great.
And I say, that's where Papa Artie worked. That's where we worked. And he always drives by that building now when he knows, you know.
Oh, right. Wow. I'm starting to get a little emotional.
I told you. I get emotional here. And you told me I'm too feminine. I'm not going to cry. You always cry first. Why do you always cry first?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But let's eat now.
Okay, let's eat.
Guys, thanks for coming, and best of luck to you, and hopefully it doesn't rain on your parade.
Oh, thank you, man. So. I appreciate it.
I hope so.
They got two of the top five shows on the network. It's Dean and Derek from both Rock Solid and Indoors Out, two of the nicest guys you will ever meet. And check them out on DIY Do-It-Yourself Network.
Thanks.